Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We were having a very engaging conversation with a local grassroots leader, if I want to call it that, last night we were talking about the local FBI calling her in regarding fighting the local laws, a conflict with the federal laws, and the FBI wanted to talk to her. And so you should listen to yesterday's podcast. And as a matter of fact, before I get too far into my little rants, I've got to do the usual. The show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and MobiusStripPress.com. You can go to both of these sites so that you can engage the content. A lot of it's free, as I say, and you'll hear about that. You can even go and like us on Facebook and so forth. Lots of content up there as well. The number to call is 215-867-8255. Again, that's 215-TOP-TALK. For those who get the phonetics with the numbers, that's great. And the three main reasons why you really want to download my podcast. This is the only show on air. Out of all other shows, that no other show is asserting a constitutional solution to the federal government's overreach and encroachments on the state's powers. That's reason number one. Number two, the content on the show actually dovetails and refers to previous shows. So that's your second reason why you really want to stay abreast with the past shows as well as the current ones. And three, bear in mind that the content on the show is not ephemeral or perishable or temporary. Its context and content will surpass the pass of time so that in 10 years, the Constitution is still relevant. Not necessarily, you know, who came out of the closet or the Me Too or what have you, which, you know, comes and goes. It's as the late and great Jerry Doyle used to call it, the grapefruit of the day that everybody would pull out and look at and go, oh, look at this. And the metaphor or the imagery of that is kind of interesting. But let's move on. I will say this, and I've still got this standing question. This isn't too hard because I've kind of been focusing on the Justice Department. And that's really because they've been focused in the news and, you know, people are looking at the dark state or the deep state. It doesn't end there, folks. This is in the Department of Agriculture. This is in every single department because they have political interest to stay alive. They have the vested interest in self-aggrandizing. That's politics. That's government. Government has to aggrandize itself so that they can justify hiring more people or at least keeping the people they've got. And I remember working, and the lines are open. If you just tried to call in, they weren't because the monkey between the application and the microphone, which is me, didn't hit that button. But it's open now. So if you want to call in, again, it's 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. Anyway, the government, and one of the reasons why government has a hard time downsizing and cutting fluff, unlike businesses get rid of toxic appendages or, you know, business units that are not profitable. They just go, you know, it's not profitable to do this. We got to stop doing this. And then those people, like my wife and I, when we're buying their product and go, you got to be kidding me. Apparently, we were the only one that loved their product. And so it's frustrating when that product goes away and nobody ever picks it up. However, it's also equally frustrating when you have a product that everybody loves and nobody wants to pay for the actual price of it. And a great example of that's Twinkies. Twinkies was being killed by the labor costs. And they basically said, well, we're going to have to shut that down and go out of business. And so eventually it got resurrected because people were able to redo the contracts on labor. and get their costs back down. So anyway, the reason I've been focusing on the Justice Department is because that's usually the department that carries the guns, but the Department of Interior will surprise you as well, because they carry guns too. And it seems like pretty soon the Department of Education will be carrying guns, because they're going to be enforcing their curriculum and indoctrination process, whether you like it or not. And so everybody that's a part of the government, because they can, probably will carry guns, because nobody can be as intolerant as government. Businesses cannot get away with treating their customers like that, but government can. And businesses can't get away with killing customers, but governments can. So anyway, I want to get back to the question. I don't want to say du jour, because that's for the day, but the question I've been asking every du jour, and I've got that wrong, but forgive me if you speak French. However, the question of the day is, what are the three crimes that the general government has jurisdiction over? The state's delegated jurisdiction over three crimes. And so in the Constitution, you can actually find three specific crimes that stand out, and they're separate, and they're not together in the Constitution. And so you're more than welcome to call in. We can have a nice dialogue about that and go down that path. And I'm just trying to pose these questions so that maybe you would be motivated in learning that and a lot of other things you've never learned about the Constitution and our history and the history of mankind as well. I actually venture into those types of things. But anywho, if you can call and you can get those three, then, or the three that I'm thinking, then I'd be happy to get your information, and we will send you a set of books so that you can dig in and maybe learn something. There's a good chance that you've already know all of this and can school me on these types of things and principles. But that being said, what is the focus, and what will it take for you to change your focus from the passion that you are chasing, whether it be entitlements for the state or corporate welfare? Is it the Bureau of Land Management, Western Lands? Is it energy? Is it drones? Is it immigration, healthcare, housing and urban development, abortion? What is it? I mean, what is the one thing that has you engaged in trying to, you know, make this country go right, or, you know, go down the right path? Because it ain't any of those, folks. It is the lack of compliance to the Constitution. And as I, you know, teach people this and they start getting it, they go, wow, you mean if we actually get the federal government back into the scope and the framework of the Constitution, we won't have these problems? No, because all these unconstitutional rulings, unconstitutional executive departments and exercising of powers will go away. Now, again, if you've listened to one of my shows, I don't say that we just turn off the lights tomorrow. We, you know, scale this as a good, smart business would, because we're actually affecting the lives of people who believe and have been doing work because they believe it's good work and they're supposed to be doing it and they're getting paid to be doing it. And I think it would be more humane, and the treatment that I would like to have is get a 6-month notice or something like that to know, okay, I got 6 months. I may not be happy with that, but I should be very happy with the fact that I have 6 months to prepare myself to figure out where I'm going to land, because maybe DC isn't the place to be. I mean, it sure is now. It is the wealthiest counties in the United States are right around D.C., and it used to not be that way, but that's just because there's that much money in government, and there's that much money that they're spending us into oblivion on. So I've got a hard break, and then when we come back, I'll get into some more marketing for you and some more insights on some of the tyranny we're facing. But first, a word from our sponsors. I'll be right back.
Rippey Homes believes that the American dream is not simply owning your home, but owning your dream home. Are you ready to upgrade, expand, or start your own custom home? If you are, I'd like to invite you to check out Rippey Homes at cgrippey.com. They offer end-to-end service from real estate to remodeling and specializes in custom homes, and they love to partner with their customers in making a difficult project worry-free. From the design to the moving in, they are with you every step of the way. If you have that dream home and looking to remodel, whether it's converting your kitchen and bath into your own heaven on earth or adding a new room, Rippey Homes has the tools, talent, and experience you can trust. So if you're ready to pull the trigger on a remodel or building that custom home, contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's cgrippey.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so that dialogue being marketing, because I believe it just takes good, effective marketing to get people motivated to buying into a product or getting them motivated to behaving a certain way. And so, as you can tell, I might have a little bit of education in business and so forth. So that's why I call it marketing. But I believe I was talking last night about the marketing of energy, but I didn't get into this interesting concept of violation of powers for war. it was clear, and everybody understands, if you remember back during, before Benghazi, the desert, it wasn't the desert, forgive me, it was the Arab Spring. Remember that? There was this uprising that was just occurring because people wanted to move towards Sharia law, right? Don't understand that. I believe that there are some that politically gain by, you know, implementing Sharia law, but most people don't like living under Sharia law, especially women. I think that would be half the population already. And then there's, you know, not all the men are on board with that either. But anywho, in the Islam faith or the faith of Islam, if you understand what was going on, the history for that, and there was a really good article on Seeking Alpha regarding the genesis or the drive for why that Arab Spring occurred. Because during the Bush administration, they were emptying out the grain reserves out of the CCC. And so as they were getting rid of all of our food on the market, oh, but the question is begged, why were they doing that? Well, they were dumping the food and the commodities, I should say grain, corn, wheat, and so forth, into the market because the cost of food was going up. So in the basic supply and demand type of thing, if your supply increases, then the cost comes down. And so they were able to suppress a rise in the price of foods during the Bush's administration. Now, whether that was something done for political purposes, but the indication would be, if the cost of food is going up, what is the other indication? Oh, well, we must be facing inflation. And so as they were pumping this food in, it wasn't just affecting us. It was suppressing the cost of food in the world market because that's commodities. So what happened was when the CCC ran dry in, 2009? And then 2010, the cost of food shot up. Well, yeah. Or actually, no, it was 2010 when they were done, and it was in 2011. And so I believe the Arab Spring kicked off at the beginning of 2011. And what ended up happening was, I think Yemen fell and a couple of other Arab nations fell. Egypt was, you know, in turmoil. And then this thing called Libya. And it was the unique nation that was an outlier because it was the only nation that we were actively involved in supporting this Arab Spring. We weren't actively involved in Egypt. I mean, there's strategic interest with, you know, Israel. Supposedly, we were friends of Israel. But this thing that was going on in Libya was an outlier. And as a matter of fact, there was an article, and I forget who and where I saw it, but I do remember that there was an article that was coming out that was basically talking about Libya was the training base for ISIS and the entry point for NGOs bringing in weapons for them, or I should say terrorists. And it was the terrorists behind this overturning of Libya, and these terrorists also started showing up in Syria. And so I believe, putting two and two together, I don't have any evidence other than these articles and some analysis, but I believe that I can't understand why because we kind of have these laws and these rules that a head of state should be protected. And if they, you know, are bad people like Saddam Hussein, then they face their day in court. And so under Bush, Saddam Hussein was found in a hole and he was not killed. Or, you know, he was protected from, you know, his enemies because he had a lot of enemies he was hiding from at the time. That's why he lived in a hole. And Gaddafi was the same boat. I mean, but Gaddafi should have been protected. And as a matter of fact, we should have offered him protection so that he could face his day in court. So why would we not want him to face his day in court other than the fact that he may have something that might actually be bad if it came out in court? So anyway, putting two and two together, it just makes sense that we actually allowed a head of state to be murdered and dragged through the streets instead of offering him some level of protection and saying, you know what, you're step down. We will make sure that you have a fair trial, but you will have to accept the outcome of that trial. And that didn't happen, folks. What ended up happening was he was killed. He was assassinated. And so when you look at the Benghazi, the big picture of this, why was, and nobody can answer this question, why was it that Ambassador Stevens went to the least protected, not chancellery, but an outbuilding for the embassy? It may be a I forget the terms. I think the chancellery is actually the embassy. But anyway, the Benghazi was an outbuilding. Why was he there? And why was he there on September 11th? I mean, everything he does is by taking orders and going and doing this and going and doing that. And it's my theory that he was like Ukiah, that he was sent there so that he would be available for the events that night that the local inhabitants had for them. And I know that's a huge implication, and I know that's a huge leap, but it's the only thing that makes sense to me, because he wouldn't have been there for any other reason. And there had to have been, and I come from the intel background, so I know for a fact that these guys would not allow, the intel community would not allow a senator, or not a senator, but these protection forces and the ambassador to just be, you know, left out there. And so, and if you watch the movie 13 Hours, you'll probably get that these guys wanted to do everything they can to protect, you know, American lives. And so it makes my head hurt, other than the fact that he had to have known something too. And this almost seems like Arkanside, you know, where there's just this unexplainable reason why people die. And so here's the biggest connection I have for you that really hurts my head. Because there's absolutely zero, and this is a capital Z-E-R-O, zero jurisdiction and role for the FBI to come in and do an investigation. And who investigated Benghazi? That's right, the FBI. Why were they sent in? And so, you know, you hear today and in these past few weeks that we've been listening to, oh, you know, this is only the 2%. I don't know. I don't believe that. I believe that for years they've been hiring potential zealots or, you know, not necessarily all, but I think it's more than 2%. We had a local incident yesterday that was reported where somebody was actually trying to support federal law and the FBI got involved. And so what else is going on, and when will directly affect you? Because see, the best marketing is the marketing when it actually directly affects you. I could have a great product, and let's call my product the tsunami system that I developed that would actually protect your life if you lived in a tsunami zone. And the best marketing possible is come in right after a big tsunami, a bunch of people die. Hey, why don't you buy this product from me? Because the marketing's kind of already been done. You better have this if, you know, for the next one. And you can probably sell a lot. That's usually what happens, folks, is people take advantage. But what I'm trying to do is get you to be proactive. But we'll have to be more proactive after the break. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after the break. Thank you. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests as to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our Republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And actually, I was just hit up on Facebook by somebody that said they were just trying to call in. And they said their judge just got a beep, and so they weren't able to call in. So the question is, if you're not able to call in and you've tried to call in, so that we've got maybe some technical glitch or something, just let me know. I just want to know how many people have tried, because there may be a lot of people trying to get these books, and I'm not aware of this because I am the engineer. Woo-woo! So anywho, what I would say is send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so I can, you know, kind of garner how many people and tell me what you're getting. The one person told me that they got a beep, and another time that they got that their phone thought that they were dialing a international number. So just trying to you know, do a data call. So if you have been trying to call, just give me an email and let me know that you have not been successful in what you got and so forth. Back to Libya. So if what I'm saying kind of makes sense, I mean, if it smells and talks and quacks like a duck, good chance we got a duck here, folks. And there just seems to be more of a trend of disregard for the Constitution and our principles of preserving individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And it's not good. It's not the way we're supposed to be functioning, especially our government, because it is a government that is representative of the people, and the people are the power and the source of power for government. So as I kind of lecture on that. So what about this White House kill list of U.S. citizens? I mean, is that motivating? Oh, well, that's happening overseas. Well, it could be happening here soon. Who knows? I do know that McCain sponsored a part of the defense finance bill a few years back, where he wanted to be able for the military and law enforcement to be able to detain U.S. citizens if they wanted to put a label on them as a terrorist threat or some kind of identified as a threat. That's not good. That's not good at all. There are all sorts of little outlier issues, but that is a issue that literally violates the premise of the Constitution, that they're supposed to be protecting our lives and our liberty as well as our property. And so there's continued collection. How about, you know, Rand Paul stumping and, you know, talking about this? And have we lost the courage of saying, hey, this has got to stop? Well, what's going to make it stop? What is the plan? I just had an excellent lunch with an individual who's actually, his presence on, I think, Facebook as well as the internet would be Focus, F-O-C-O-S. And we're looking at trying to find the common ground so that we can work together. And that's really what's important here, is putting aside our, I've said this many times, we have to put aside our differences and we have to put aside our self-interests and work together. And that's exactly what I've been doing. I've been trying to get the John Birch Society to, you know, take a definitive position on Republic Review. I sent off an email last night waiting to hear. I'm hoping to reach out to the Eagle Forum. I know they broadcast, or they have somebody that broadcasts for them or representative on Red State Talk Radio. So I'm planning on getting with them. I want them to, you know, if they can give me a definitive position on this, because I want to know who's working with me and who's not, so that we can start identifying, well, okay, you know, what do you do when somebody's fighting you or not working with you? That's a toxic relationship. So you have to understand that. And then you can't let those things drag you down, because you can get ensnared in those things and it becomes self-defeatist, and it becomes something that can consume you, and it gets you off course and off message and off your narrative. And so it's important that we don't do that. These warrantless searches of the cell phones and our phone calls, period. NSA secretly breaking into American corporate and citizen encryption methods. That way they can, you know, find out what we're talking about. But technically their role is to be foreign and external facing. Why is it that they're doing this to us? There has to be policies that are considered acceptable, because they said, you know what? There's this blanket of protection over the American people, and we don't like that. Really? If you don't like it, then, and you don't like the Fourth Amendment, then amend the Constitution. But until you do, you can't bypass that, right? It's our contract, folks, and if they don't like a part of the contract, then they're going to either disregard it, which is what they've been doing, or we call them out on it and say, either you do this or you're gone, right? I mean, what would you do in the civilian sector if somebody is blatantly disregarding your contract? Well, you fire them. And so we have to basically take this nonsensical approach and say, you know, it's not about the personality. It's not about any kind of demographic category of the individual we're dealing with and the people that we're dealing with. This is all about following the contract, following the highest law of the land that we, the states, created, and living within the powers that we gave you, we, the states, delegated to you to perform and not to take upon yourself anything else. That is why the 10th Amendment exists. As a matter of fact, in this conversation today, we talked about the 10th Amendment, and I just want to be clear, folks, that every state that ratified the Constitution and or after they ratified the Constitution provided their own amendments, and every single one of them wanted almost verbatim what the 10th Amendment provides, except they wanted a little bit of word change. I think they wanted explicit, but I don't think it matters. The fact is they drew the line in the sand. All powers not delegated are retained. And it's that simple. It is that simple. The states actually have all the power over all of those executive departments that are unconstitutional, and they have to step up and put their foot down. It is a parent-child relationship, and all we need is the parent to do their job. That's all. Just wake up, pull your pants up, go over there and tell that child to either start behaving or they've got what's coming to them. And, you know, maybe a trip to the woodshed, right? Anybody get those? Anyway, there's these other things of, you know, national tracking, using backdoors in the private security encryption. We've talked about that for both private security and corporations and those types of things. We've also mentioned, actually, I did mention this, national security letters to gag recipients, which violates the free speech, right? You cannot be told you can't speak about something. And there's these national license plate tracking system that they want to put in place and kind of keep track of everybody. And I believe that is actually working now. I think they're doing that. And that's all well outside of the Constitution, because the reason I'm asking what are the three laws or three crimes that the federal government has jurisdiction over, they're completely ignoring those three crimes, and they're, you know, coming after, they're creating crimes that they don't have jurisdiction over. So that's why it's really important that you understand those three crimes. There's millions in illegal contributions accepted by the Obama campaign during his presidential run, and these were all credit card filters and designed to screen out foreign money that they were receiving. And we know that they maxed out the allowable legal limits by the U.S. law, and they intentionally did that. And so there was all sorts of those shenanigans regarding foreign influence and buying and paying for the campaign. And we've got what? Collusion? We've got evidence of collusion. I think today Newt Gingrich on Fox was saying that there's obviously no evidence of collusion. So what are we doing? And if we really care about collusion, then why aren't we going after some of these other facts that we've already known about the Obamas? Why is it that there's this myopic focus towards the conservative or somebody that's trying to do actually good things instead of somebody that's literally trampling on the Constitution? Why is it that the press hates the Constitution? Because they love it when it protects them, but they don't like it when it's protecting you. That is the elitist communist mentality. That's all I can say. I mean, if you understand communism, there is an elite class that is created through the communistic process of the state being able to dictate everything. And I mean everything. If you look at Russia, that even meant marriage, children, raising of children, and so forth. It's repugnant to think of, but I'm up to the heartbreak. So please, if you stay tuned, I will be right back, and I'll actually get into the Federalist Papers again in our last segment. So I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you.
I'm amazed at just how much Rippey Homes takes pride in their partnerships, from the designers they work with to the artisans they employ, and you, the homeowner. They relish in getting it right the first time. To do this, they place their focus up front on what you want and what you need and begin forming a plan like a sculpture, taking care of the intricate details to ensure it meets your expectations. Whether you need innovation in a custom home to harmonize with the environment while offering the latest in building materials and technology, or simply adding a room, a bath remodel, they take a bottom-up approach that centers around you, the customer. They know that you are the integral component to the American dream, which is how they help you build your dream to make your dreams become a reality. Contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so one of the things that I've been talking about is this flagrant violation of the Constitution and how the federal government has really been taking on a thug role are these departments and so forth. I'm really putting myself out there because there's a lot of conservative talk show hosts that seem to be soft pedaling and looking at, well, you know, most of these guys are still good. Well, a lot of them are probably still good, but I don't know about the most. I really don't know. I think that you can't say that because there is more evidence that proves that it probably goes much further than just the top few, six, that have stepped aside than anything else. But that being said, let me put my Federalist Papers cap on and source documents. And what I always say is, are the words in our founding documents that I am citing the words of deceit, or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges and professors, lawyers, politicians, and bureaucrats, the words of deceit? You have to be the judge. And so in Federalist Paper number 46, which we've covered this before, but I want to bring it up, but ambitious encroachments of the federal government on the authority of the state governments would not excite the opposition of a single state or of a few states only. They would be signals of general alarm. Every government would espouse the common cause. A correspondence would be opened. Plans of resistance would be concerted. One spirit would animate and conduct the whole. In other words, that one spirit would get everybody moving and conduct the whole as far as dealing with the encroachment. That was Federalist Paper number 46, James Madison. And if you look at, and I've talked about it before, the Sedition Act, what did Madison do with when they passed the Sedition Act? He took action. He didn't say, you know what, we're going to have to teach everybody about the Constitution. Well, people back then, they actually knew about the Constitution, but nobody understood it maybe to the same level as those who were really engaged in the debate. And so he took action by going to the state legislatures, because ultimately the state legislatures have the power over the Constitution. And when you get the collective state legislatures together and they're all saying, no, 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 you can't do that, then it is for real, folks. They can't do that, and they need to be stopping. But what happened when Jefferson and Madison went back to do those resolutions in Kentucky and Virginia, the other states wouldn't join them. And because of that, because the other states failed, what Madison and Jefferson then did was they nullified, that was their last resort regarding the law itself, and they mobilized a huge concerted effort over the next 2 years to basically unseat Adams and undo that law. And so even though they didn't technically undo it, it went away, and because they were in office, and it just went away. Unfortunately, what they should have done was they should have done a congressional resolution that states that there are boundaries and barriers within the Constitution that do not allow them to make laws that are contrary to the Constitution. Therefore, these four acts that were a part of the Sedition Act were unconstitutional, and therefore they are null and void and made them go away. That would have been the proper thing for Congress to do, but they didn't. And so, whether it be an act or a resolution, as I was pointed out today, because you can actually do a resolution where you don't need the president's signature. And so, because there's a good chance that Congress, in saving the government and saving our Constitution, will have to do resolutions instead of bills and acts that require the president's signature. Anywho, moving on, yesterday I spoke about Hamilton and his phantom. And I'm not going to read it again, but he talked about this phantom argument that the federal government or the Supreme Court and the court system would be able to encroach upon the legislative branch. He says that's a phantom. There's just no way that can be done. And so he threw out this ludicrous argument about this. And I truly believe the phantom Hamilton spoke of was a ploy, because this is precisely where Madison, with his help of his close friend and protege, John Marshall, actually precisely where Hamilton and his protege, Marshall, against Madison, because if you understand the first time they kind of stepped into undermining the Constitution was a case called Marbury v. Madison. And so this is where Marshall actually started taking those steps of self-aggrandizing itself with that case. And that particular case created property rights to jobs for federal government, and it started instituting precedents. And so this is, you know, where Madison, I truly believe, failed, because that was an unconstitutional exercising of the court. And Jefferson should have been engaged in this. But at that point in time, they were going through the Louisiana Purchase. There were all sorts of other little distractions, and they failed. And I'll bet you anything, if I had Madison and Jefferson here and they looked at that and they go, yep, you know what, we really failed. We didn't think that that would be as problematic as it has to, as it is today. The other cases were Fletcher v. Peck in 1810, Sturgis v. Crown and Shield in 1819, Dartmouth College v. Woodward, I should say, McCulloch v. Maryland, and these were both in 1819, and Cohen's in Virginia in 1821, and Gibbons v. Ogden in 1824. All of these, in the ramblings and opinions of John Marshall, is where he made comment. And actually, the only one that was egregiously just wrong was Marbury v. Madison. Fletcher v. Peck and the rest of these, on the face, the verdict was correct, that the state of Maryland can't tax the federal government. The federal government has a right to be able to set up banks in the states and so forth, because it falls within the boundaries of the Constitution of needful buildings for them to do their job. Not necessarily creating big, huge fields for EPA and saving, you know, jumping rodents and so forth. But anyway, if you look at all of these ramblings within these seven cases that I've just mentioned here, these seven cases created unconstitutional footings that established, or Marshall was basically establishing, that the federal government can be supreme in anything it deems necessary and proper. And so he was combining these two clauses within the Constitution that were literally confined to the enumerated powers. The clauses within the Constitution in granting the general welfare clause of general welfare and defense, the commerce clause granting the federal government oversight over commerce between the states when there are disputes, and it's the same thing with the necessary and proper and the supremacy clause. These clauses were designed specifically towards the enumerated powers. They were not, and Madison clarifies this in 1817. He clearly states that these are not portals. And I'm paraphrasing, because he doesn't use the word portals, but these clauses were not portals for the federal government to be able to grab any new power. And everybody today believes that the supremacy clause means that the federal government can do anything and everything. And that's absolutely wrong. That goes against what Madison was saying and what the whole ratification debates were talking about. And I believe this phantom in this Federalist paper that I read yesterday, that was a red herring, and I believe it was a ruse by Hamilton in trying to undermine, and he knew this, and he basically was just kind of protecting this little facet that he would be able to start rising up tyranny from the bench. Now, I think John Marshall, being a pretty decent man, didn't realize what he was doing. But even though it's noble, and what he may have thought was a noble thing to do, I'm here to tell you that the methods and what he did was nefarious, because he knew. And how did I know he knew? Because John Marshall was at the Virginia ratification debates, and he even spoke. So he heard what was being said. He heard the limitations on the federal government, that they weren't supreme in all things. They were only supreme in those things delegated. And Nichols made that very clear. And he, being a Federalist, didn't care about whatever the other Federalists said. What he felt and what he thought was what he was going to enforce. And if it's not within the confines of the contract and not within the confines of the discussions in defining that contract, it is not contractually, legally binding. So everything he was doing was violating that contract. It was violating the Constitution and how the Federalists defined and the delegates from the Constitutional Convention defined that contract. And hopefully that is really clear here, because I don't know if I could articulate this as well again. I think probably I might be able to. Anyway, I will have one more Federalist paper as well tomorrow for you, at least one or two, and get into some ratification debate comments. And with that, I am out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much. And let your friends know to tune in if they get smart on the Constitution.